The following program is sponsored by Shoreline Transportation Services and is responsible for its content.
Here in Ohio, homeowners, taxpayers, and business owners alike are facing the weight of ever-rising, unjust property tax. Because of this, it's time we come together to speak out, question, and demand change. From Citizens for Property Tax Reform, that conversation starts now. This is the voice of the people.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Voice of the People. Voice of the People is brought to you by the Citizens for Property Tax Reform. And Citizens for Property Tax Reform is a local grassroots group seeking property tax relief for senior citizens and property tax reform for all Ohio homeowners. So excuse me, I woke up with a hoarse voice this morning. Of course, probably better than not waking up at all. But I'm going to get introduce everybody here, and I'm going to turn it over to our crew. Before we start, I want to make sure we get out there that our website is reformpropertytax.com, reformpropertytax.com, and we also are on Facebook at Citizens for Property Tax Reform Ohio. Okay, before we start, a quick shout out and a thank you to Pastor Lutz at the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. I want to thank Pastor Lutz for letting me come and speak to his flock Sunday about our property tax reform group. It's always so nice to sit in a church that has a Bible believing and patriotic pastor like Pastor Lutz, somebody that speaks the truth. So thank you, Pastor, for letting me speak to your group Sunday. It was a pleasure and an honor being there with you. Thank you. Okay, so tonight, first of all, we'd like to say hello to our absent media director, Beth. Beth is a little under the weather tonight, so hi, Beth. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're doing well, and we pray that you get over this headache quickly. Good evening to the number one producer with Salem Communications, Style.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
How are you doing, Style? Okay, so we have three of our staff here tonight. We have our call girl, Connie. Connie, would you like to give us our call-in numbers, dear?
Yes, we have two numbers, 216-901-0900.
33.
Sorry, can't read my own writing here. Or 888-677-9673.
Thank you, dear. So we are a live call and talk show. We do have a special guest tonight. So I'm not sure how much time we're going to have call-ins, though. But we also have here one of our sons of thunder, Bill Holman. Holman Oil for all your Holman needs. How you doing, Bill?
Doing good, thank you.
And Kyle Kutz, who was under the weather last week, he's back again. Thank you, Lord. How are you doing, Kyle?
Great. Thanks, Keith. Thank you.
Good. Good to see you. So we do have a special guest tonight for you, and from Signal Magazine, Andrew Tobias, a little local media celebrity. He'll be calling in shortly. So in the meantime, events this week. What do we have going on this week, Mr. Holman?
So this Thursday, the Middleburg GOP is holding an event. It's May 1st, Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Middleburg Heights Library. That's located at 16699 Bagley Road, and we will be speaking at that event.
All right, good deal. Yeah, I think it's a quiet week. Any rep coffees or anything? I haven't heard anything.
Not
there.
This week.
No.
Yeah, no cookies or anything.
No cookie. No pizzelles. Dave Thomas. Before Andrew calls, I want to give you all a quick update on our petition drive. So we are finished gathering the first phase of petitions for phase one. We are going to hopefully take them to Columbus this Thursday. Brian Massey and his group are working on, there's a new thing in the state law where we have to physically deliver originals to Columbus, but we also have to produce a digital copy. So they're busily in the basement in Lake County scanning all these petitions to take down. So we did well, and I want to thank everybody that helped us with the petition drive. We ended up having signatures from 26 counties around the state, which was wonderful, 26 out of the 88. We had a total of 319 petitions with signatures that were good after we went through them, of 1,845.
Wow.
So praise the Lord. That was wonderful. And thanks to all you for your help. That was after we eliminated some, you know, we checked each petition and some signatures were not good or illegible, so we crossed a bunch out. But our goal was to take close to 2,000 down there, and with the anticipation that, you know, the Attorney General may, you know, knock a few off. So Thursday, prayerfully, Brian and the group will take these down and submit them, I believe, to the Ohio Attorney General first. And hopefully Mr. Yost will say, yeah, good, and send them over to the Secretary of State for his clarification. And my understanding is that we have 10 days to go through that process and send them back to us. And then we'll be starting phase two, which is the heavy lift. A minimum of 460,000 good signatures, which we're going to attempt to get probably 600,000. We need to get signatures from 44 out of 88 counties to get it on the ballot. The goal, the target is November for the elimination property tax. I think it would be a miracle, but with you all, I think we can do that. Worst case scenario, if we can't get enough signatures to get it on the ballot this November, those signatures we are able to carry those over, and it would be on the May ballot next year. So either way, we're going to need a lot of help on this, folks. So please hit our website, reformpropertytax.com, or go to our Facebook site, Citizens for Property Tax Reform Ohio. Get contact information. If you're interested in circulating a petition for us for the 500,000 signatures, contact us. Get a hold of Beth or somebody in our group, and we'll be doing a training sessions for petition people. And so we're going to need your help. And tell everybody you know this is coming, and we hope to hear from you soon. ReformPropertyTax.com. So I see our guest caller is on the line. So Kyle, would you like to introduce our guest tonight?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Keith. So this gentleman, we met way back in November down in Columbus for a rally that he covered our event down there. And this gentleman, we've known him now for 6 months, I guess it is. And his name is Andrew Tobias, and he is with Signal Statewide. And Andrew is a state government and politics reporter for Signal Statewide. He's based in Columbus. And he seeks to explain why politicians do what they do and how their decisions affect everyday Ohioans. Andrew wants to close the gap between what state leaders know and what voters know. Very important.
Very good, yes.
He enjoys trying to help people see things from a different perspective. Andrew graduated in 2008 from Otterbein in Westerville with a journalism degree and has covered politics and government in Ohio since then. So, Andrew, thank you. Thank you.
And, yeah, and welcome, Andrew.
Glad you're here.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Welcome, Andrew.
Yeah, happy to do it.
So, Andrew, I'm going to ask you a couple questions to get started. We'll get the rest of the panel to ask a couple more after me. So, you know, in a recent article you had in your Signal Statewide, this was April 17th, you wrote about property tax reform and a group called the Ohio Taxpayer Protection Coalition that's testified in favor of three bills. I'm not going to go over all of them right away. I'll just go over each one and you could comment on them individually as you see fit. The first one is House Bill 28, which would eliminate a type of levy called a replacement levy that almost always results in tax increases, even though its name might imply that it won't. So can you give us a little more detail about House Bill 28?
Yeah, it's really a test of my ability to communicate things by having to explain property taxes in Ohio.
Better you than us.
So there are a few different kind of formats of levies that local governments commonly seek. I think the ones that sound the most similar to each other are the replacement and the renewal. I think another name is like an increase, which kind of is what it sounds like, for example. But so a replacement levy sounds like somebody might hear that and think, okay, well, this is a levy that's on the ballot, and if I replace it, it will be the same thing as before. And so technically it does not increase the tax rate, but the way that Ohio's property tax system works is that the longer a levy is on the ballot, the more likely that the state's tax formula decreases the rate that local governments collect on it. So if you renew the levy, it just literally goes back into place the way that it was the previous year.
Gotcha.
But if you replace it, it resets it back to as if it was first passed, and it taxes it at the full amount. The proponents of changing that basically believe that voters have a hard time kind of understanding that concept when they see the word. It wouldn't surprise me if local governments have some understanding that voters don't fully appreciate exactly what a replacement levy is. Mm-hmm. You can see that in the data the state has, that a replacement levy is less likely to pass than a renewal, but it's much more likely to pass than a new tax or an increase.
Right.
So the idea behind changing that would be to just give voters a clearer idea of what they're voting on. Mm-hmm. So the local governments that say they rely on that option both say that voters are smart enough to kind of understand exactly what they're being asked to vote on. They kind of incorporate those nuances into their campaign, arguing that it should be passed. But mm-hmm. they also say they need it. And so one of the things that they've tried to get the lawmakers to do instead is just change the name into something else. And I frankly can't remember what they've proposed. Mm-hmm. So if the issue is really that the name is misleading, they've kind of floated, maybe we can just change the name. But that's a bill that's passed the House. It's before the Senate right now. And I kind of see that one as possibly being one of the less controversial proposals like this.
Okay. Gotcha. And then I'll ask you about a couple more, then I'll pass it around to the panel. The next one's House Bill 186. And this would give a property tax credit to homeowners who live in communities where property taxes effective rates have dropped low enough to no longer get the benefit of the state reduction factor. Can you explain that a little more in detail?
Yeah, I'm going to be really high level with that one. But essentially, when the reduction factor is the dynamic in the state tax formula that I referred to earlier, that essentially means the longer the tax is in existence, the lower it's collected by the governments. They kind of automatically reduce it through the reduction factor. And so the other kind of facet of the tax formula, though, is that once the mills, which is sort of the tax rate essentially that's collected, drops below 20 mills in total, then the reduction factor turns off for the kind of effect it has reducing taxes for the portion of your tax bill that goes to your local school district. Okay. And so if a community is at the 20 mil floor, if they see their property taxes increase, they are more likely to see a larger increase instead of the state's tax formula kind of taking the edge off of it. And so what this bill would do is that in those communities that don't have that full benefit of the reduction factor, they would get an automatic property tax deduction basically to try to offset some of the value. Now, that gets really complicated in exactly how that's collected, but that would realistically translate likely to a reduction in taxes for probably about, at this point, maybe 60% of the communities in Ohio.
Okay. And then last one for me, this is Senate Bill 66. This would make more types of voter-approved school district taxes subject to the reduction factor. So could you discuss this one? And by the way, especially knowing that the legislator's next session is actually tomorrow, April 30th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'll explain it in a little more detail, and then I'll take a step back about what's sort of significant about these three bills.
Thank you.
So this one, there are particular types of levies, including emergency levies is one of the names, that when you're calculating your tax rate for your community, that they don't count against that in terms of deciding whether or not a community is at the 20 mil floor. And so, again, when you're at the 20 mil floor, you're more likely to see an increase in your property values translate to a similarly large increase in your property taxes. And so if you include more types of levies in that calculation of what your actual effective rate is, then it just makes it harder to reach the 20 mil floor, and it makes it more likely that your tax bill is not as big of an increase. It would basically take money away from schools, or at least they would not get the full benefit of property value increases in the future if that were to happen. So it's kind of a shift kind of in favor of taxpayers and away from school districts. And of course, there's always the arguments about, how much money should we give our schools and stuff like that. And I should say also other local governments like fire departments and stuff like that too. But that's the gist of it. Again, it's not easy to explain this stuff, but The significance of these three bills, though, so this group that you mentioned, the Ohio Taxpayer Protection Coalition, I would say it's largely run, it's kind of like, you know, powered by the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, which is one of the state's largest business advocacy groups, but the Ohio Realtors Association is in it, as you can imagine why they care about this stuff. But it's just interesting that these are the bills that they are supporting, and the business community is one of the special interests in Columbus that lawmakers listen to. And so some of these proposals, you know, kind of range from being, you know, what's kind of pie in the sky versus kind of what's like the low-hanging fruit. And it sort of is on a spectrum of those things. But the fact that we have the business community essentially testifying in favor of these bills, to me, says that they have a greater chance of passing.
Would that be more of the the big corporate entities in the state of Ohio than per se the more of the local small businesses?
So, yeah, there are local chambers of commerce, you know, exist across Ohio, and some of, not all of them, pay dues to the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. So I would say that the big Ohio Chamber of Commerce is more likely to reflect the interests of larger corporations, but a lot of their members are small businesses too. So that's sort of a, you know, like a critique that somebody might have of them if they wanted to really get nuanced about it. But yeah, I mean, I think that's like a fair question. And that's the answer to that maybe isn't a yes or no question, but perhaps, you know, somebody might argue that it is more reflective of bigger business concerns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just from my personal aspect, with me being a small business owner, and I do a lot of business with a lot of small businesses as well. We don't get much attention when it comes to the things that we're talking about today. Oh, I'm going to lead off with the next question, next statement here for you. So our group has always said that if our elected officials don't address unrealized gains and out-of-control reappraisals and protection of our senior citizens from eviction if they can't afford their skyrocketing property taxes, then any other proposal is just a Band-Aid approach. Do you know if any current bill being considered addresses any of these issues?
So the most sweeping proposal that I'm aware of has not been introduced in this legislative session. It was essentially a call for a constitutional amendment that a couple of the most conservative Republican lawmakers in the House introduced in the previous session, I believe it was a couple years ago. What they essentially proposed was rolling back property values to the 2022 numbers, basically prior to this big increase that has kind of been working its way through the system. And I think it also capped the annual increase in property values that sort of the system can bring in. So that's the most, again, like I said, that's the most sweeping example. The things that you're talking about go further, I think, than what the legislature's realistically been looking at right now. But I will say that they are discussing, you know, at times leaders of the House and the Senate, who are both Republicans, have described wanting to take a comprehensive look at the property tax system. And some of the things that they're starting with in the 2-year session, which just began at the beginning of the month, are kind of the simpler things. And I mean, so maybe they're not simple because we just talked about some of them, and they're not necessarily, you know, like the system itself is complicated. But as far as, they compared it to an onion, and kind of like these are like the first layers of the onion before you kind of keep going deeper and deeper and stuff like that. So, we'll see how sweeping they want to get. I mean, I know they've even talked about, there's been some kind of like high level talk about, do we still want to call these mills? Do people know what a mill is? Do we really need to have that mathematical formula memorized if we want to really understand what our tax rate is? You know, it's just kind of been a top to bottom conversation. But as far as like how far they want to go, and whether it's going to be the kinds of things that you guys want to see, there's nothing on the table that I've seen like that right now. But, right. You know, it is. I kind of make a practice of not predicting the future because you just never really know exactly where they're going to go with it. So all I can say is this is how they describe their review when I ask them about it.
I know you would think that, you know, a real simple thing would be to, you know, go with one of our proposals that we've been proposing from the beginning here, is to at least go back to pre-COVID values to give people immediate break right off the bat. I mean, that's something they already have the prices in place. They know what the amounts were. They could literally snap a finger and make that happen if they wanted to, but for some reason they don't.
And, yeah, it's administratively feasible, but we have a big fiscal impact on the state. And so that proposal I described, it never really went anywhere and hasn't yet been introduced this session.
Yep.
Connie, do you want to ask one more question? I think we have time.
Yes, I would like to ask you about Representative Ron Ferguson. He's talked about the abolition of property taxes, but has he or any other elected official actually introduced a bill or proposal along these lines?
Yeah, there hasn't been anything like that. I will say that Vivek Ramaswamy, who's a Republican, he's, I would say, the strong front runner in the Republican primary, has discussed that on the campaign trail. He's also talked about eliminating the state income tax, which is something that Republicans have talked about doing for a long time. So it's not like he's released a specific bill or anything like that. It's pretty early on. But he is talking about it. He's somebody that I think wants to be seen as kind of like a bold visionary leader. So you at least kind of take him seriously when he's saying that stuff, even though it's just kind of campaign season right now. But as far as the legislature itself, I'm not aware of anything. It's possible that there's been something that hasn't been on my radar. But as far as I know, there's been nothing like that.
Bill, you want to ask one more?
Yeah, I got one more question I think we got time for. So our group is currently in a petition drive to eliminate property taxes, and it has been suggested increasing sales tax to backfill or make up the difference. So if the total sales tax rate in Ohio is capped at 8%, what might that mean for Cuyahoga County that already has a combined sales tax rate of 8%?
So I'm not a lawyer. I know enough to know that there are certain things about taxation in Ohio, particularly as it pertains to property taxes, that are set in the Ohio Constitution. I just know that because people talk about if they want to make particular changes, and maybe you guys have run into this, they say that certain things need to be an amendment, which requires a statewide vote. But I'm pretty sure the sales tax limits, which there's both a state sales tax rate that's in law, and there's also the maximum that local governments, counties, and basically counties and transit districts are allowed to charge. I believe those are in law. So I think really if somebody wanted to change it, it would be a matter of just either, you know, passing an initiated statute or, you know, a constitutional amendment like the kind that you guys are talking about, or just getting enough lawmakers to agree to do it. So I don't think that the sales tax cap is one of the things that necessarily requires a statewide vote. And it could just be changed if somebody really wanted to.
Okay, good. Well, we're kind of running out of time here. Do you want to kind of finish up, Kyle?
Yeah, so,
we'd love to have you back,
Andrew. Andrew, thank you so much. It's been so informative. I mean,
absolutely.
Like you said it perfectly. And our group encounters this all the time. Every time we go speak and every time we talk to individuals on the phone or email or text or, you know, go to a meeting, everybody says the same thing that you said is, boy, is this hard to understand, and man, is this complicated. So thanks for trying to unravel
this
incredible, it's just a real complicated apparatus, that's for sure. So thank you for taking time out of your busy day and from your family duties.
Yeah. Andrew, do you want to quickly plug Signal while you're on the radio here?
So I'm pretty new there, and it's just starting in the last couple of years, but I wanted to say one of the reasons why I've been paying attention to this issue so closely is that I try to think of things as a reporter that really have an impact on people's lives. And you kind of read like my personal mission statement at the beginning, which has to do with narrowing the gap of what elected officials know and what kind of regular people know. And so I think it's important to do what you can to help explain to people these things affect their lives. You know, the people who are writing these laws know about them, but you might not know it just because maybe, you know, people are busy with their lives doing other things. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to do my best to kind of let people or help people kind of like walk them through this, and then they can kind of decide what they want to do with that information. But so if you want to see my work, signalohio.org is kind of the parent, you know, umbrella organization for the state, but my articles appear first most often at signalcleveland.org. If you just kind of were to Google something like Signal Cleveland, Andrew Tobias, you'd find my work there. But also, I'll just plug the name of my newsletter at State Signals. You should be able to Google that as well. But you can see all my work that way. The newsletter itself is emailed and everything else is published online.
Well, I do want to say, you know, you've been very gracious to our group and given us great exposure, but you know, the best thing, honestly, I feel about you, Andrew, is that you really are a true journalist, and as opposed to opinion type person. And so you lay it out and let people make the decision. That's what journalists are supposed to do. So thank you so much. And we hope to have you back again very, very soon. God bless you. And we will hopefully see you in Columbus soon. Also, before we wrap up, Beth texts me and says, make sure you give out our office number, 216-452-2961. 216-452-2961. That's our direct number to Citizens for Property Tax Reform. You'll get Beth on the line. So if you need any information, if you need information on our petition drive, anything, call that number. And also remember, reformproperty tax.com and Citizens for Property Tax Reform Ohio on Facebook. So thank you again, Andrew. Thank you, team. Thank you, Style. And Lord willing, we'll see you all again next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you.